introduce a new song to you today, but the scripture that I want us to recite together is no new scripture. It's Psalms 23. Let's say this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Hallelujah.
He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Give God praise for this.
The Lord is my shepherd. Sing it.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes, he is.
He goes before me, defender behind me. I won't fear. I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing.
Do you believe that today?
No weapon can harm me. I won't fear.
Let's sing that again. The Lord is my shepherd. Sing it now.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Thank you, Lord.
He goes before me.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Defender.
Defender behind me.
Thank you, God.
I won't fear.
I'm filled with his anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
Say that over your life today. I'm filled with his anointing. Yes.
My cup's overflowing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
No weapon can harm me. I won't fear.
Hallelujah.
Glory. face to face.
Sing it again. He always guides me, yeah.
He always guides me
through mountains,
and valleys.
His joy is so refreshing.
His joy is refreshing.
He restores my soul.
Restores my soul.
Thank you, Lord. His mercy.
Mercy and goodness.
Gives me calm assurance.
Give me assurance
that I'll see his glory.
That I'll see his glory.
Face to face.
Face to face. My victory, my victory, my victory,
Shepherd of your soul this morning. Hallelujah. You're not alone. He's holding you.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the name of Jesus. Would you lift your hands and praise the shepherd of your soul with me today? Heavenly Father, we give you praise for holding us close. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for being our counselor, for being our comforter. Holy Spirit, thank you for being there for us in every circumstance, in every situation. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word knows exactly what we need, and we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Speak to us today. As your servant comes, Lord, and shares with us today, pray that your anointing will be upon Brother Bob, Lord, as he shares with us today, and help us to be receptive to what you would have to say to us, to have hearts that are open to what you want to do in us and through us. For your glory, we give you the praise and the honor. It's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. And everybody said, amen. Would you give Brother Bob a hand as he comes and welcome him to this pulpit today? God bless you, Brother Bob.
Isn't it a joy to be in the house of the Lord? What is your most precious tangible possession? What is your most precious tangible possession? Number of years ago, when I was still back in Georgia, I had the distinct privilege of giving the very first Gideon report in an African-American church in my hometown. I had approached Brother Henry Teagle, and he's a wonderful preacher of the gospel, and it is a walking Bible. He just can quote scripture on and on, just a precious man of God. And I approached Brother Henry Teagle and said, Brother Teagle, I says, are you familiar with the Gideons International? He said, you know, I've heard of the organization. And I began to explain to him how we put scriptures and Bibles into elementary schools, middle high schools, and into universities from fifth grade all the way through universities. At that time, we were in some 170-something countries. Today, we're in over 200 countries around the world. And I explained to Brother Henry Teagle how we gave Bibles into the military and into prisons and into jails, and how we actually have the largest prison and jail ministry in the world. And I explained to him how our Gideons are members of local evangelical and Protestant churches in these countries around the world. They're men that have management skills and experience and also public relations skills, and they're men that are recommended by their pastors to become a Gideon because they're men and women that have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and they're born again. They believe that God's word is inerrant and infallible in the original manuscripts. They believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. They believe in the eternal lake of fire for those that have rejected Christ. And matter of fact, it saddens me to say, but we've had to
put another spiritual qualification into our membership, and we believe in the institution of marriage between one man and one woman. It is an amen. But it's a sad state of affairs when you have to put that as part of your bylaws. Who would have ever thought that in America? But Brother Henry Teagle says, Bob, absolutely, we'd love to have you come and speak in our church. And we took the calendar down and penciled in a date. And I showed up that morning, and it's a small congregation. There was about 22 or 23 adults there that day. And Brother Henry Teagle, before I got up to speak, he introduced me. And he says, brothers and sisters, this morning, he says, I literally tore my house up looking for a little red New Testament. He said, in that little red testament, he says, I literally had torn the covers off of it, carrying it with me everywhere I went for years. And he says, I don't know that I would be your pastor and standing here today if these men had not come to my school when I was in the fifth grade. That was good timing. He said, if they had not come to my school as I was in the fifth grade and had given me that little red New Testament. And I know this, every one of us here have been touched at different times in our lives, whether it was in school, college, hospitals, nursing homes, you know, military, you name it. God's word is going around the world at a rate of 2.62 Bibles every second. We gave out, because of the local church, we were able to give out over 82.5 million Bibles just last year. So praise the Lord. That morning at Brother Henry Teagle's church, I shared one of my special and favorite testimonies. And it was a story about, as Gideons, we about 18 times a year, not only do we have our usual distributions that are going on all the time, we're going to be giving out Bibles at the fairgrounds here in the next week or so. We'll be out on the AB Tech campus here in hopefully before it gets too cold. I don't know why we keep waiting until it gets cold to schedule that, but we're going to be out on the AB Tech campus every semester where we'll give out 300, 400, 500 scriptures at AB Tech. And we just got through giving out over 3,000 on the sidewalks in front of the Civic Center for all 5 high school graduations, for all the students coming to those high school graduations. And what a wonderful experience that is. But I told Brother Henry Teagle about an international Bible Blitz that we did in Tanzania. And Gideons from around the world will come and team up with the local Gideons in these countries. And I was in Ghana 2 years ago, and I was able to share that with y'all a couple of years ago. But we'll give out hundreds of thousands of Bibles over a two-week period. Well, the group of Gideons from the United States, there was a couple of them that teamed up with a young man named Simon. And they were making scripture distributions in the higher jungle region just below Mount Kilimanjaro in the northern part of Tanzania. And it's very difficult roads, most of those areas in Africa. Once you get out of your main cities, the roads are not paved and can be very, very difficult. Washed outs and muddies and so forth. But they were putting scriptures out in these schools all up into that region, and they'd given out tens of thousands of Bibles, preached the Gospels in the schools and so forth. And as they got toward the end, they asked Simon, because Simon was about 28, 29 years old, a very handsome young black man, very large, scrapping fella. And the Gideons asked him, Simon, how did you get all of these Bibles out into these regions for this distribution? Because they have to get these thousands of Bibles distributed around before these large distributions can take place. And matter of fact, Simon was driving those men that week. And when he pulled up in a pickup truck and they jumped in the back of the truck at the first of the week and Simon took off, it was very, very, very erratic driving. They just were hanging on for dear life. And one of the Gideons asked Simon, said, Simon, how long have you been driving? He said, this is my first time. So when they got to the end of that week and they knew that Simon had never driven before, they said, Simon, how did you get these Bibles way out into these regions? And he said, well, I built a large wooden cart and I put the Bibles on the cart and I pushed them out into these areas. And they said, Simon, well, how long did it take you to get the Bibles out here? He said, it took me about 2 months. And then they asked Simon, and they said, Simon, you know, you're a handsome young man. And he says, but you're not married. And Simon smiled real big, and he says, yes. He says, but I'm engaged to a very beautiful young lady. And he said, and her dowry is 10 cows and 10 goats. And he says, I still got 2 cows to go. And one of the Gideons reached into his coat pocket to take his wallet out. And he said, Simon, could I pay for those 2 cows? And Simon stepped back and he says, oh, no. He says, if you do that, then those 2 months would not have cost me anything. And he said, it's payment enough for me to know that the children in my country have been able to get a copy of God's word. Those are the kind of Gideons that you have in 202 countries around the world. They give sacrificially far beyond anything we can imagine. We cannot comprehend. We just had a gentleman that was here from Indonesia, and he's one of our directors, field directors there in Indonesia. And Indonesia has over 17,000 islands, and over 8,000 islands are inhabited. And the nearest island to his is over an hour boat ride. So they have to take these Bibles by boat and canoes and get them out to these islands. And then when they get to the islands, very few of the roads are paved. And when I asked this representative, I said, well, how many roads over there are paved? He looked at me like I was, what was I thinking? Because none of their roads are paved once you get out of the city. And he had pictures of how they were putting the Bibles on the back of a little motorcycle. And they could put 400 Bibles on the back of the motorcycle. And they were going out down these very, very muddy jungle roads. And sometimes they'd have to have one or two with them to help push the motorcycle through the mud. And they spend days taking God's word out to their schools, to their prisons, to their military bases around in the country of Indonesia. And it's a very difficult country, because it's the largest Muslim country in the world. It's the fourth largest population country in the world. And some areas it's very extreme Muslims. But they're out there putting God's word out, preaching the gospel, and God's blessing his word. We as you know, we give out the Bibles all over the place. And just a couple of years ago, we were over here at AB Tech. And for a number of years, we were able to be all over the campus. And we'd even recon the campus to see where the traffic flow was going to be. And we'd even be in 12 different locations and give out well over 1,000, almost 2,000 Bibles. But the college campus has restricted us now to just a freedom of speech area, just a patch of grass out in front of the library. And we'll still give out 300-400 Bibles. And one of the things that I really stressed to the men, I said, guys, let's start praying for these students. Let's don't just offer them a scripture, which is important, but let's pray for them. And we began to start asking these students, hey, have you got anything that we could pray for you today? And what was surprising was how many of the students would stop and share the burdens they would have and say, yes, would you pray for us? And we began to tell the Gideons that were coming throughout the day. And one of our Gideons, Joe Bowman, is an older gentleman, and he doesn't get up and get moving very early in the morning, and it's kind of hard for him to get up to speed. So he didn't show up until about 10:30 or 11. But Joe just loves people. He's one of these people that he just has, just oozes love. And so we put Joe over in a spot where a lot of the kids are coming through, and Joe, I noticed, was praying for all of the kids that came by him. You know, I was praying for maybe 20%, 25%, but Joe, there wasn't a student that would get by him that he wasn't praying for him. And sometimes he'd have a group of 5 or 6 kids he's praying for, and these kids were walking away, wiping tears away from their eyes. And I says, wow, I got to take my game to another level. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray for the next guy. So I turned around and got back over in my spot, and this young man was coming, and he just looked like he was totally out of it. Just, you know, and a lot of the students on the college campuses today are very discouraged. When I came through college, the college campus was the epitome of optimism. It is not the case today. Well, this young man was walking toward me, and kind of like he was just in a zoned out, and I said, wow, he's not even going to want a Bible. And so as he got closer, I says, young man, can we give you a copy? Have we given you one of these yet? He says, what is it? I says, it's a very beautiful copy of God's Word. It's got Psalms and Proverbs in the New Testament. It's got helps in the front for any kind of difficulties or trials or troubles. And then in the back, it's got a GPS in the back. And he said, he reached for it and he took the Bible and still not really engaging. And then I says, young man, can I pray for you? And he looked at me, and he kind of got focused. He says, yes, you can. And I says, how can I pray for you? And he says, my mother is dying. And I felt really impressed that he was probably the primary caregiver. And I says, young man, are you the primary caregiver? And he dropped his head, and he says, yes, I am. So here he is, a student, 20, 21 years of age, trying to get through college and trying to take care as the primary caregiver of a dying mother. Prayed for the young man, and he thanked me, and grasping God's word, went on off the class. It was on another distribution just prior to that one that we were giving out the scriptures, and there was a young man walking across the road. He walked across two streets and across the parking lot at a snail's pace. I mean, he was just barely moving along. And it's hard for me to stay in the freedom of speech area. So I walked on out to him, and I says, young man, I says, we're moving mighty slow today. And I wasn't trying to be facetious or anything, but just engage him. And he just stopped right there and just dropped his head. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I says, we're not doing very well today, are we? And he took a deep breath and straightened up some, and he says, my sister was killed last week. And I says, bless your heart. And I said, I bet she was a good sister too, wasn't she? He said, oh, she was the best. I said, how long did you have her? He said, I had her for 20, she said she was 26, and he said, I'm 21. So I said, for 21 years, you had the best sister. And he says, yeah, I did. And I says, it's not going to be easy, and you'll feel this loss for the rest of your life. But I'll tell you something. I says, God will comfort you. And I turned to the front, and I talked about bereavement and loss and grief. And I showed him those scriptures. And then I told him about John and how to start reading in John. And then turned to the back of the Bible where it has the GPS, which is God's plan of salvation. And I said, it's times like this when you need God, when you need the Lord. And I says, can I pray for you? And he says, oh, please. And he just laid his head on my shoulder. And we prayed for him, and he walked on off the class. And you might remember this, because this was just a few years ago when it was in the news. And he was driving the vehicle and pulled out in the road and did not see an oncoming truck. It T-boned him on his sister's side. And just a few minutes later, there was a real attractive little girl just flipping across the parking lot. And I said, young lady, have we given you one of these yet? She says, what is it? I said, it's a beautiful copy of God's Word with New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs and the helps. And before I could even finish up, she goes, oh, I need one of those. And I says, wonderful. And I was back outside the freedom of speech area again. And I says, honey, let me give this to you. And she said, I've just become a Christian, and I'm a recovering drug addict. And she said, I'm trying to get off of heroin, cocaine, meth, and methamphetamines. And I says, honey, I too was a freshman on a college campus. I too had just come to the Lord. I had been stoned every day for over a year, and I was selling drugs when a Gideon like this gave me a little New Testament. And she said, I told her, I took it with me everywhere I went, and I would read from it every opportunity I had, between classes, during classes, all day long. And I said, it kept me from falling back into that life of sin. And I says, God's word will sustain you and it'll keep you. Prayed with her, and she goes, thank you, thank you, thank you, and flirted on off to class. And it dawned on me, though, as we were out there on that college campus, just how the atmosphere on a college campus is so different today than I remember. And how these young people, many of them, do not have a prayer. Nobody's praying for them. So as your missionary arm, we're out on college campuses around the world. We'll give out tens of thousands right here in North Carolina this year on college campuses. As your missionary arm, we're giving out God's word, sowing God's word into schools, grade schools around the world. When we were in Ghana, the doors were wide open, and we could go into these schools and preach the gospel and give invitations. And we saw over 20,000 decisions made in 2 weeks. And we gave out 570,000 Bibles in those 2 weeks. And God blesses his word, and his word will not return unto him void. But we do need your prayers. There's no doubt about that. As even in our own country, we're getting more and more pushback. There's more and more resistance to the word of God and to the gospel. So we need your prayers. We read in Luke chapter 4 about the sower and the seed. And you know, Jesus said three very significant things, and two that he only said about this parable. But he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And then after he had shared the stories, the parable of the seeds, the disciples and those that were with them came up to him afterwards and asked him, what did it mean? And he made two very substantial and significant statements. He says, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And then he also said this. He said, if you don't understand this parable, you can't understand any of them. That's a substantial and significant statement. And the sower sows the word. And as the sower went out and sowed the word, some fell by the wayside, and the fowl, the birds of the air came and snatched it up. And as we're out, Gideon, sowing God's word, we see that. Also, some fell among the thorns and the weeds, or actually the next one fell among shallow soil, among rocks, and it was shallow soil, and it sprang up, but as soon as the heat came out, it withered. And the third kind of soil was the soil that was among the thorns and the weeds, and they grew up and strangled the word. And I want to warn you as a congregation, that's where we have to be the most vigilant as followers of Christ, because the cares and the worries of this world are getting worse exponentially. So guard your heart. And I have to guard my heart continually that I do not let the cares of this world strangle God's word and cause me to be unfruitful and unproductive. But the fourth type of seed sown or soil was on fruitful soil, where some would bring forth 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. Well, that's what we are as a Gideon ministry. And as your missionary arm, we're a seed sowing ministry. And so thank you for standing with us, you know, in this endeavor. Just a few years ago, we were on the West Georgia campus giving out God's word, and there were some older gentlemen that were out there with us that day, and we were all over the campus. But at the end of the day, there was this elderly gentleman that came back up to us and says, I want to tell y'all about something that happened today. And he says, I was in my spot giving out God's word, you know, just, you know, and a very attractive blonde pulled up in her beautiful red Mercedes and rolled her window down and waved for me to come over. Well, what's a fellow to do? So he walked over to the car, and the lady says, thank you, thank you, thank you for being out here. She said, I was a student on this campus not too many years ago, and you guys were out here giving out Bibles all over the campus, and I kept turning y'all down. I didn't want one. And she said, I finally realized that y'all weren't going to give up. So she said, I went ahead and took one of your little Bibles, and every time I'd see one of y'all, I'd just hold it up and walk on by. And she said, I got back to my dorm room, and she said, I just threw it over on the desk. And my roommate said, honey, with all the troubles you got going on, you probably ought to start reading that. And she said, a day or two later, she picked it up and began to start reading it. And she couldn't put it down, and she'd carry it with her and read between classes. And she said, about 2 weeks into it, God so convicted her that the life that she was living, the life of sin, was wrong, and that she had departed the God of her youth. And right there in her dorm room, she got down and asked God to forgive her and to cleanse her and to save her. And she says, now I'm serving the Lord. She said, God's brought me a godly husband. We've got three beautiful sons, and the oldest two are now serving the Lord, and the youngest one's on his way. And she says, thank y'all for being out here. And I want to thank you for standing with us. Your church has stood behind the Gideons for many years. I don't know how far back, it goes back decades, that y'all have faithfully held forth the word of life that we may rejoice in the day of Christ, that we have not labored in vain, neither have we run in vain. Brothers and sisters, as your pastor holds forth the word of life, and as we, as your missionary arm, continues to do so around the world, we will rejoice in the day of Christ. And, you know, we have a Gideon card program, and we've got a card display that's on both sides as you go out. And thank y'all for allowing us to have those. But I want to show you real quickly how you do use them, because they're very easy to use. And when you ever start using them, you probably won't stop. But you've got some beautiful cards. I've got some examples up here. And these are for on your special day. It could be graduation, birthdays, in memory cards, just, you know, to bless someone, to thank them for any number of things. But you pick a card that you like, and they're free. We just provide them for you. Write you a message in here. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know, if you don't know already, but you have got a precious pastor and a precious pastor's wife. You really do. And as part of today's service, I'm going to give five Bibles in honor of your years as a pastor and serving the Lord and serving this church, you and Laura. You know, I had two uncles that were pastors, and there were things I found out that people sometimes would say to the pastor's wife that they would never dare say to the pastor. So y'all take good care of Laura and take good care of Dale. Y'all pray for them and support them. But this is a card. We've got some that are just for you, Pastor. And it just says here, Dear Pastor Dale and Laura, God bless you for your service and dedication now and always. Thank you for holding forth the word of life that you may rejoice in the day of Christ. Philippians 2:16. So you just write a note. Use the envelope to mail it to the person or to give it to them, and then use the return envelope to mail your offering in. Now, today I'm going to put it into the Gideon offering so it'll count towards your church service. But, Pastor Dale, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You know, in Revelation 14:13, it says, and blessed are those, was it the angel of the Lord told me to write, blessed are those who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. My dad and my mother have been faithful in the Gideon ministry for many, many years, and my dad still is at 93 years of age. He just stopped doing the college distributions a couple of years ago. Because of his macular degeneration, he can no longer see the students, but it breaks his heart. He can't still be out there. And Mom was faithful as an auxiliary until her passing. And we asked people to give Bibles in memory of my mother, in honor and in memory of my mother's life. And over 600 Bibles were given in honor of my mother. And the Bible does say there in Revelation 14:13 that their works do follow them. And I believe those 600 Bibles that went out around the world, many of those landed on fruitful soil. And those will be works that will continue to follow my mother on to glory. So sow the seed, sow abundantly. If you sow abundantly, you shall also reap abundantly. So use the Gideon cards. We have those available to you and for you. As we mentioned earlier, and it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you." So pray for us that God's word will run swiftly across this globe. And I want you to know that we've made distributions in the highest schools in the world in the Andes. We've covered the schools in the furthest villages in the tundra regions of Siberia and Russia. We've gone into the deepest jungles in Papua New Guinea, one tribe that the National Geographic and all thought was an untouched tribe. They got there, and the Gideons had already beat them. So your Gideons are good for nothing. So if you ever want to tell someone, say, "That guy over there, that Bob Machen fella, he's good for nothing." Our Gideon ministry does not cost your church one dime. Our annual dues cover our administrative overhead, and we cover all of our personal expenses, even these guys in these other countries. And so when they give up time and sacrifice, it's a tremendous sacrifice. But I told you earlier about Indonesia. And in Indonesia, they have hand-delivered and distributed over 30 million copies of God's Word into Indonesia at a great physical sacrifice. So thank you for your prayers. And as we mentioned earlier today, your contributions. And we'll have an offering here in just a few minutes. And 100% of that will go to just printing and shipping God's Word. A Gideon New Testament, they're high-quality New Testaments, high-quality paper. I still have my Bible that I got in college, and Dad gave me his Bible that he took into World War II. They're still good Bibles. They're worn, but they're made very well. We can print this, ship it, and have it hand-delivered with a gospel message for $1.25. You could hardly ship it across town for that. So a case of 100 Bibles is $125. And I don't know about you, but I've gotten on every mailing list there is. I probably get 3 to 5 solicitations every day. And that's hugely expensive. And we raise our funds by word of mouth, by speaking in local churches. This is and using the Gideon Card Program. So we thank you for your contributions. We thank you for your time here today. Thank you for partnering with us. That Sunday morning when I spoke at Brother Henry Teagle's church, at the very end when I sat down, Brother Henry Teagle came up and really, I think possibly only black pastors can really do this effectively. I mean, he looked at his congregation and he says, "What is your most precious tangible possession?" And then he said it even stronger. He says, "What is your most precious tangible possession?" And then truly, as only a black pastor can do it, he said it a third time, even stronger. And then he reached over on his pulpit, and he picked up God's word. And he says, "Brothers and sisters, it is the word of God." And you know, you can go a whole lifetime and only have 2 or 3 or maybe a handful of statements that really get a hold of you. That next week, what Brother Henry Teagle had said just kept resonating for weeks. And it caused me to challenge myself, even as a Gideon. I said, "Lord, is your word my most precious tangible possession?" Lord, may it be. I know there was a time when it was. I wouldn't go an hour without reading it. I says, "Lord, may I once again fall in love with your word. Because it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path." It'll never fail. The grass will fade, the flowers will fade, but his word will last forever. So I want to encourage you as a congregation, fall in love with the Lord again in his love letters. When you used to get love letters, you'd save them, read them multiple times. In my dorm room in college, one day a guy stopped by. I always read in the morning in the study room down the hall. He says, "Haven't you read that thing yet?" I said, "Brother, we're going back through for the second or third time." But God's word is truly our most precious, tangible possession. Eternal light and his spirit is the most precious spiritual gifting anyone will ever have. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as we talk today about those who put their trust in the Lord, may this be a day that you say, "Lord, I want what these others have received. I want to put my trust in you. I agree with you that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me." And if you've never made that the prayer of your life, let's bow right now and make sure we get this taken care of, and we'll close. Father, we know that we are sinners. You've told us that for all have sinned and fallen short of your standards, of your glory, of your honor, of your righteousness and your purity. Father, we know that we sinned. And Father, we know too that Christ died for us, and you would not that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. And Father, that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that has never put their trust in you, or if they're just not sure, let's make it a sure foundation. Let's confess our sins and let's put our trust in Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, cleanse me, forgive me, wash me, renew me, restore a right spirit within me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I've had wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, wrong actions. Lord, please forgive me. And Lord Jesus, I know that you died for my sins. I know that they were put upon you at Calvary, and that you gave your life that I could have life. And you rose from the grave that I might also rise. And Father, we put our trust in you. We ask you to be our Lord and our Savior, and to come into our hearts and to save us. Help us to study your word. Help us to pray, and help us to tell other people about you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for opening the eyes of my understanding, and thank you for drawing me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I trust you. I need you. In Jesus' name. And before you open your eyes and raise your head, if there's anyone here this morning that put your trust in the Lord, would you just raise your hand? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. And Father, we just want to thank you for these hands that have been raised, these hearts that you touched, that opened their hearts and asked you to be their forever friend. They ask you to cleanse them and to wash them. And Father, thank you that you have, and that you've sealed them with your Holy Spirit of promise. Father, we just praise you, we thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Bob, for being with us this morning and sharing your heart.